Thank you, Lord. Thank you for today. For the last few weeks, O Lord, many events have taken place, and we are facing, Father, a year ahead of us where the squeeze will come more and more upon your people. A squeeze such as the political religious system of the world coming upon your people in many different countries, so Lord. We know that this world is not our home, and we know the God of this world is seated himself. He rules the world. He knows that he might have a short time left, Lord, to do whatever he could, whatever he can, put pressure on your children everywhere. And whatever things, O Lord, he could use to try to knock your children down. But Father, though your people, the sins of God are but little flocks scattered throughout the world, might look puny, might look little like little David, in the eyes of those evil warlord. But we know, Father, you are always with your people. And no matter what, Father, traveling through this evil world that is not our home, on a pilgrimage to a home beyond the sky, to the eternal city, we know, Father, it's a battle to fight. The war is over, but the battle will be still raging from every direction, Lord. And we know you will strengthen your children. You will strengthen your servants everywhere. And even those that are knocked down, Father, by a physical affliction, the brother or cell, or even what is happening, Brother Pierre, and Brother Justin has been knocked off to go back to where he came from. But Lord, you are always in control of every situation, of all the life of your people. So even now, Lord, as you come together this morning, we remember, oh Lord, all those at this moment in time, Father, where your ministry is concerned, Lord, your servants. We know at this time now you watch over us as you lift each and every one of them into your hand. That you strengthen physically, spiritually, mentally, Lord, completely in Christ Jesus our Lord. For whatever and all the work that our Lord Jesus had done for us at Calvary Cross, redemption is complete. And we just await for the change of the body. And we know, Lord, no matter what, we know that you reached out your hand and touched everyone and increase the faith of thy people. Right now, Father, we pray and commit this to you, even as we gather ourselves here this morning, or wherever your saints are gathered now, Lord.
to sit under your feet and to learn, even as every one of us fellowship and worship by holding Him. We thank you, Father, asking for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. My throat has not been good. I have been going through lots of pain in my body now. End of last year, beginning of the year, I cannot lie down to sleep without pain. Daytime, I have no problem. But when I lie down at night, my waist just have this terrible pain. I had to adjust my body and support it with some pillows. And my throat is really bad and my weight never come back. I lost 2 kilos and it's still lost out there. I pray the Lord just grant the strength to continue. And I think the Friday meeting, we just got to cancel it. And I said to you that last week that the video that I sent to you, what Benny Hinn said, that we're going to discuss it on Friday, but I think we just cancel the Friday meeting. I would talk about that next week, about that video. And I want you to really look into the video, examine it, and learn the thing that you can see, because sometimes people watch a video or listen to a sermon, it goes in here, out the other side. You know, or I say, yeah, I know that, and that's it. Because there's a lot of subtlety in the thing that's being said. And that's exactly, in fact, political, religious, sometimes when those speakers and they, whatever they are teaching, whatever they are saying, sometimes they put a lot of subtle meaning inside it. So you need to understand what you are listening to or hearing. Alright, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 18 now, and we're going to go through as quickly as we can. Some part might be important, some part are not. Alright, so here now in chapter 18, verse 1. Now after this thing, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. Now here Paul left Athens. And if you don't know, remember Athens? Alright, let's just look at the map again. Now, I want you to know when you look at the Bible here, Paul's journey, he didn't expect it to go to Europe. You know, he was, because Paul's hometown was from Tarsus. Okay? And he's always here in Antioch as well, and he would travel. They would travel all the way to Asia here in this region, or Cyprus, right here. But he didn't expect it to go over to Europe. Now, this portion here on the west is the European continent, no, European side. This is the Asia side. So this is called Asia Minor, which today we know as Turkey. And of course, Israel over here, we call it as Middle East, right? So, Paul went over to Greece was because in a vision God showed him a man calling him out to come visit him in Macedonia. So he went over to Macedonia. Okay? So now he had left Athens and he went out to Corinth. And that's where Corinth is. So I hope that you look at this. We'll use map again. Refer to it. Now, down at Corinth, he met this man called Aquila. And being that he was a Jew, of course, and Claudius, who was then in charge of the region, a Roman emperor, decided to chase all the Jews out of Rome. So he came with his wife, Aquila and his wife, to Corinth. and they met them. Now, let's find out more a bit about Aquila and Priscilla. Let's go to Romans chapter 16, verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. So, there's a relationship later on between Paul and this couple, husband and wife. Now, we want to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19. And here is something that perhaps we need a little explanation. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. Now here is a couple, a man and a husband and a wife. They really love the Lord. They were Jews, they were converted. I want you to know this, probably this is the first time that you read this here. The church that is in their house. What is the church? The church building is in their house. Is that what you're reading when you talk about the church? Where are you going? I'm going to church, the one down there called St. Andrew's, St. Peter's, and whatever. That's the church you're going to. So what is a church? A church is not a building that is of wood, stones. A church is a building of human beings. Spiritual children of God. Human beings that are born again by the Spirit of God. That's the church. We are here. We are the church. Not this building. This building that is made of hand is not the church. The building out there you see the high steeples with crosses all over the on the outside. Beautiful looking statue of Jesus hanging or whatever. Angels are painting inside the room of that building. That's not a church. That is just a building. So when you say the church is in their house, we're talking about the believer. The word church from the Greek word ekklesias. Ekklesias, that's where you get ecclesiastes. Ecclesias means to call out. People who are called out from the world of sin. To be children of God. That's what a church is. So the church is in their house. Now in saying this, you always remind me of something. Because I'm going to bring up this name. Because of what happened recently in Cambodia. Years ago. There was in the 70s. There was this man called Peter Lim. You know, at that time, it was so close to 1977. Christ is coming soon. The rapture is going to take place soon. 1977 is going to end the world. And so all the young men start chasing after women to get married. What's all about that? If you know that Christ is coming next year, what do you want to do? You're a young man, you still, all you want to do is think about having a wife? What is that about having a wife? Think about it. And that young man, in dealing with the sister, well, the sister, you know, we should not be worshipping in the house. We should worship in a proper church building. Huh. And he called himself pastor. Pastor Peter Lim. You know, over the years, the thing that he had done. And I think some of you know how that he manipulated. And how that he did that to me. And I give him a rebuke. But he's up to it again. If you call yourself a believer, you ought to know what the church is. If you are a Christian outside who's a nominal person, perhaps like my mom, She might not understand the word church. If I tell her, you know what the church is? Let's go to church. That's a church. What do you mean by that's a church? What do you want? No, no. As a believer, you know, you should know what a church is. And to him, he comes as a pastor, and yet he can tell his sister, we should not be worshipping in the house. We should not be worshipping in the house. Then why should we worship? What about worshipping under a coconut tree? The church under the coconut tree. The church in the warehouse. The church in the garage. What is the church? People beautify their church building. They decorate the whole room in the, what do you call that? A sanctuary, whatever they call it. And it's a hush-hush thing. You know, a lot of things, all these years, there's this fire burning me that eats into me. Against all this foolishness, people who call themselves believers of this entire message. You know, when we come to the church, we come to have church here. Yeah, so we remain quiet for a moment, meditate before the service starts. Because we want to let the presence of the Lord be here. But it doesn't mean that when you are out, when your service is closed, everybody goes home. And if you come into the room, you come in like a dormouse. Why? Because this is a sacred place. Is it so? People have this kind of understanding. What is sacred? It's not this place. It's the presence of God in you, with you. When Moses was up there in the mountain, he was attracted by this bush of burning fire. Right? He was curious, he looked at it, approaching, and the voice of God spoke, Moses, remove your sandals. For you are standing on the holy ground. What does it mean? After the event was over, do you think that Abraham marked the area? This is holy ground. Or Moses, that this is holy ground. Is that what it is? Yeah, this will happen if you are Catholic. Yes. Know what happened over right down in Israel? Every place that the Bible mentioned about where Jesus was, the tomb, Golgotha, you know, River Jordan, every of those places are holy ground. And you have to pay just to be there, even to get baptized. What is the holy thing? Now the Bible, we call this Bible, Holy Bible. I want you to realize what we are talking about. And I said, don't be religious. Have an understanding about being spiritual. This is Holy Bible. We call it Holy Bible, right? Isn't it? Holy Bible. No dirt should be on it. Be very careful when you open it. Take the faucet, perhaps. I'm not exaggerating. But the fact is this. These are black words on white paper. But who wrote these words? It is the Spirit of God that moves men to write. And it's called Scripture. The Bible didn't even say sacred Scripture. The Bible just said Scriptures. All Scriptures are given by inspiration. God had it written down. For you to what? For you to laminate it. Keep it so nicely that you don't read it. Or you just read it carefully. And that's what the brother told me. I said, I asked him, how is the Bible? Did you ever write notes on the Bible? No! My brother told me, you cannot study the Bible. It's sacred word of God. Do you know what it is when you dirty the Bible? What does it mean you dirty the Bible? The Bible, the word Bible means a book. Holy word of God. Is that what you take from God and leave it in your heart? It is not something that is written on white paper. Do you know? Do you know how many millions of Bible has been printed and distributed around the world? Some of them are so simple Bible. They have to smuggle into communist country, right? And what happened to those Bibles sometimes? It went to the wrong hand, got dirty and everything. And even if it's dirty, people are trash on those books, take it and read it. It is what that is written, that is revealed, that becomes something precious to you. Not something that you just keep it and clean. And then I told about, no wonder you do not know the Bible. Because you hardly even open up the book, read it, write notes on it, circle it, underline it. This is for the purpose of your learning. Do you understand? So, now you know what a church is? You're the church. Every one of us that make up the body of Jesus Christ. Born again. We're the church. Alright, next. Verse 3. Can someone read? Acts 18, verse 3 onwards.
And because he was of the same tribe, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come unto Macedonia, Paul was pressed in spirit, and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment, and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles.
Alright. Again, you notice the behavior of Paul in verse 4. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. I mean, after all, Paul loved the Jew, you know, his people. And so every opportunity he had, when there is a synagogue there is always synagogue in every city and town, as long as there are Jews there. And so every Sabbath he would take the opportunity to go there, sit there, you know, synagogue, they go there like a church, like assembly, sit down there on a man, and somebody will go up to the front where there's a table, and you take the scroll and read the book of Isaiah, and maybe say a few things. And Paul usually will take the opportunity to say whatever he had to say and preach to the people. Now, when Paul stopped preaching, the Jew opposed him and blasphemed. Paul and his silence. So what did they do? They took their own garment and shook it. It's just a sort of a traditional thing. Huh? You take, like what we always say, move your hand and say, I don't care. That's your problem, you know? Sort of thing, by rub off your hand and dust, things like that. So they take the coin and just shook it up. And they said to them, from henceforth, I will go unto the Gentile. Your blood be on your own head. From henceforth, I will go to the Gentile. But actually, Paul said that it does not mean only that he never talked to the Jew, but he would. But he was moved by the Spirit of God to actually now being moved to the Gentile, because their ears are more open to hearing the Word of God. And let's go to the book of Acts 13:45 and see what was written there in the first place.
But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first and be spoken to you. But seeking ye put it from you, and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, return to the Gentiles.
Yeah, that's the first time he spoke. This is the second time. Yeah. But I did two different places, of course. And this, the first time was in Antioch. Huh? And this one was at Corinth. So there are new people altogether, new Jews altogether. So that means to say that here I'm not going to talk to you Jews anymore. I'll turn to Gentiles in this place. And Antioch, the same thing. I'm not going to talk to you Jews anymore. I'll turn to the Gentiles in that area. Huh? Alright, let's continue the next verse, in verse 7 onwards.
And he found fence and entered into a certain man's house, named Justice, one that worshipped God, whose house joined half to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized.
Alright. Yeah, there was a certain man's house that is next to, near to the synagogue now. The name is, well, you call it, we really has justice, but that's Greek word, huh? If I'm not mistaken, oistos. Alright? Because the J is, that's the way it is. The J is actually, there's no J in Greek. Like in Jesus, there is no J, but just I in the Greek word. One who worshipped God, whose heart was joined heart to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And strange enough, you know, because of what happened in this one instance, I don't know, I believe it was the hand of the Lord. God has always way of doing something that will happen, but in the end of it is to the greater advantage of his purpose to get souls converted. Now I do not know, I believe that some whatever is going to happen over the brother Pierre, something good will come out of it. Huh? And so the same thing here, right? Crispus was the chief ruler of the synagogue. Not because that he was a chief priest or anything, no. He was some great person in charge of the synagogue. And he turned to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians 1:14 and look at that reference. Now, remember that this is Corinth, the city of Corinth. It's a very corrupt city. Remember that it's a very corrupt city. In Athens, what we have in Athens, well, what was said by a historian, what is being said that you can find a god. I mean, it's so much easier to find a god than a man. Now, that's in Athens. But in Corinth, which is not far from Athens, I mean, that whole city is filled with corruption. That's a big cosmopolitan city, so to say, huh? All kinds of, you know, people are there. It does sound to me like perhaps Hollywood. Or maybe Paris. Or even New York City. And people there are so corrupt. And when we talk about Hollywood, and you know what Hollywood is like. It's a place where you have all these movie stars and billionaires, you know, people that are so rich, and sex seem to be ruling the whole city. It's crimes. And Corinth, the city of Corinth, is exactly what happened. That's so much so when the church started, when Paul founded the church, and you find that later on Paul heard what happened in that some of those believers continue in their fornication. And even one man will even have his married his own mother, his father's wife. And that's how terrible the place is. Alright. 1 Corinthians 1:14.
I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius.
So there's only two persons that Paul baptized. He didn't baptize many. Not because he didn't have a lot of convert, but probably he leave it to Silas or Timothy to do the baptizing. Right? Okay, verse 9.
Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall step on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city.
Oh, that's good. You know, here when I read this, I remember, you know, the time when the Lord came in to minister the word of the Lord. This was not spoken to me directly like that. Okay? But the love of my heart, that zeal, that fire, just to come to the preaching is time for the truth. But it was when I was a brother John Mark in Uganda. You know about John Mark? Brother was Karamo John, who, when he was, you know, first given the information, a message to meet up with me. And he said, no, I don't want to go to see this man. There have been too many of these foreigners that come here and don't know what they are preaching and so on and so forth. He was saying that. And the wife said to him, he says, well, you know what? My husband, he said, you always said that you shouldn't judge a man until you hear him. And he had never even heard Richard Gunn speaking. No, this brother who's coming. And now you already make up your mind not to go and hear him. So what about John Mark later on told me that's why he was convicted. And that later on he came and meet me the first time when I went to Uganda. I also, as I said, I didn't know. Unbeknown to me, the minister there was, they were actually testing me. I didn't know, of course, you know. Because they took me up at Kampala all the way up to Soroti in Nanao, going through all those checkpoints. At that time, Idi Amin was disposed of for quite some time, and there's still a lot of guns and rebels still fighting. So we went through all the checkpoints from morning all the way to night. Oh my, it's about 12-hour journey. On a little shitty van, they went off the road one time and on a journey and hit a man on his shoulder, but nothing happened serious anyway. So when we went off Soroti, we had a convention there, and the first message that I preached in the bottomless pit, you know, he was sitting on the side with the pastor who hosted me, and the first 15 minutes I was bringing it out, and then I stopped hitting the high point. That's when Brother John Mark saw the truth. And in the following year, I told Brother John Mark, I called the pastor, I said, send Brother John Mark down to me. Because he lived in Moroto up north. I said, I'm going to the west of Uganda, Kasese. So Brother John Mark came down and we took a bus, local bus, journey from Kampala all the way to the west, the whole day journey from morning to reach there in the evening. And we had dinner, and then in the morning we woke up and we sat at the high, at the mountainside, or where it is, a mountain really. And there's the only hotel out there. And we overlooked the valley, and the sun was coming up. We were early because we slept well last in the night, and we got up early to go to get breakfast. Breakfast wasn't ready. So we were just worshipping the Lord with the rising of the sun, and we're just praising the Lord and worshiping for about half an hour or so, and then Brother John Mark quietened down.
And I asked him later, I said, "Oh, you stopped praying and worshiping the Lord?" I said, "Yeah, Brother Gunn, I was waiting for you to stop." I said, "What? Why?" He said, "Because I had a vision. Right here. An open vision." I said, "Well, what do you see?" And what he said to me was exactly what this word would hear. And also, it takes me back to the 80s. I was there in the 90s. Back me to the 80s when I was in Earl Jackson's church. When a prophecy came out from there, my brother. Almost practically the same word here. I said, "What did you see?" "The bird gun I saw. You standing on a platform with Jesus Christ. And Christ was facing you and you were facing Christ. And Christ was saying this word to you." He said, "My servant, whatever words are put into the mouth, speak, do not be afraid." You know. And that's what remind me of this verse, remind me of what happened in the 80s. You know, the Lord has no way of confirming a person's ministry. I don't know about John Mark. This is the first time, you know, as a second time we say that, I knew him. I don't know him very well. And he actually had these visions and dream and prophecy, things like that. And even Brother Ananias. And so the same thing here, but God speak very, well, straightforward to Paul. And he said to Paul, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not your peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in the city." I have much people in the city. Well, apparently that means in the city, they are already believers of the word of God. But how much of the believer of the gospel is yet another thing. But these are people who are fervent. And this is Corinth. Not a good city. The American countries, many cities that you go, they are not good cities. I've been to Kinshasa, and not a good city. Yeah. I've been to West Africa. I've been to Ivory Coast. Not a good city out there. Here we are safe to walk around. There you can be harassed. You don't know. And God reassured Paul about it. Alright, in verse 11.
"And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, 'This fellow persuaded men to worship God contrary to the law.' And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, 'If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names, and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters.' And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sorbenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things."
All right. Yo. Well, Paul continued 1.5 years there. And now this, in his cities, Gallio was supposed to be, being a deputy of Achaia, was supposed to be one who, kind of a meek person, and you know, doesn't take sides, but frank, speak his mind. And I think every province or every town and city of the world, whether governor or deputy, whatever, representing the people, should be like that. Because sometimes when you don't have a good governor, one who took side or who's corrupt, then you have a problem. So with this, then of course, the people, the Jews, raised an insurrection to come against Paul. Not only just Paul, but I swear, of course, Silas was with him. And even Luke was with him, because he was his companion. most likely even in this missionary trip. And now they stood up and accused Paul, and being that he's always the leader, they always accuse the leader, that he persuaded men to worship God contrary to our law. And I think this is particularly what we see in many extreme Islamic world. Many countries here in this part of the world, the Southeast Asia, over there in the Middle East, you bring anything or you say anything that the local people do not like, even in India, where Christians are gathered in the minority just to fellowship in that place in the house, they are being set upon. So they raise up this issue and get Galileo to take side with them. But Galileo was not interested. He said, what his word said is very true. If this was a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, all you Jew, reason what I did, I should bear with you. It's not something wicked, not crime that's committed. So why do you bother me? But if it's a question of words and names and of your law, because somebody don't believe your law, somebody preached something which you don't like because it appears to be contrary to your law, then you deal with it. Yeah, because after all, that's what the Bible teaches. When we have a problem in the church, a brother or a sister create a problem, you don't take him to court. You judge him in the house of God. You understand what I'm saying? You see, are we so incapable of judging the member of the family of the house of God? Is it just not what we read about a rich man who died and gave the property or the inheritance to his children? And what happened? They fight among themselves. Right? Taking each other to court. And even father take a son to court, the son take a father to court. What is that? Can you settle among yourself? And that is so true, isn't it? But this is what God has done and said, that's your problem. Your religious problem. Don't bring it to me. And so what happened? So he drove them out from the courtroom. Well, not really a courtroom, sometimes just an open area where, you know, they brought people to be judged. And the Bible here said, then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue. Now, Sosthenes happened to be a chief ruler of the synagogue. And all these Greeks, they're frustrated with him. Huh? These are people who are not believers. They turn against this ruler of the synagogue. And who is this Sosthenes that they beat him up? 1 Corinthians 1:1. Now he was a Jew, an unbeliever. But in this incident something happened that caused him to believe. 1 Corinthians 1:1.
Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother.
Yes. So now he became a believer, you know. Yes. Sometimes something happens, God allows it. I mean, he being beaten up. Well, later on, perhaps he sit and meditate about his own life. I mean, a Jew, yeah, I know all about the Lord Moses and the prophets, but what do I know? There's a lot of people out there, religiously they know a lot of things about religion, but they know nothing about salvation. Okay? Alright, verse 18.
And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus, and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue, and reasoned with the Jews. When he desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, and bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means give this lease that cometh in Jerusalem. For I will return again unto you, if God will, and he sailed from Ephesus.
Amen. All right, stop there. Now, Paul tarried there for a while and decided to leave the believers there and sail to Syria. And of course, he took with him Priscilla and Aquila. And in Cenchrea, Paul decided to shave his head because he had taken a vow. Now, the Bible didn't tell us what was the reason for his vow. Now, I want to take this one thing. To the Jew, they're very... I believe that because they are people, they are very religious. They love their Yahweh and the book and their song. And I believe the same thing with us Christians. Huh? The Jew, Israel, they are natural Israel, but we are spiritual Israel. And remember this thing. Paul make a vow. I don't know what a vow is. He kept the vow. When you make a vow, you better keep the vow. Even the smallest vow that you make. Brother, can I borrow from you $10? I'll return you next week. Next week, he said, brother, sorry, brother, I still got no money to return you. Next week, no more week, please. Another day passed by. Sorry, brother. When you promise to give it back, make it back. Or else don't save it. Brother, let me $10. I don't know when I can return you. Alright? When you make a vow, yeah, will you so and so take this man to be your husband until death do you part? In sickness, in health, everything. Oh, yes, sure. Yes. But after marriage, what? I swear, man. What's so unlucky I married a man who's always sicker? You know, a lot of people don't know what comes out from your mouth. Every vow you take, you keep that vow. Do you know how important it is? You take a vow with God, you fulfill that. Huh? Christ! Yep. He took a vow. For this cause was I born. To suffer, to die for you. He didn't break it. It was so hard, so painful that in Gethsemane Garden, they asked the Lord, God, if it is possible, is there any other way? God didn't even say anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So remember that. So he shake his head. Well, usually they do that. The ship always said, no more head. Perhaps, you know, you like to open your foul mouth, for example. Huh? You are a man who is easily irritated that you curse and swear and every word comes up from your mouth. And you realize that you should not be doing that. And you say, Lord, I promise I will not do it. Then you better not do it. Perhaps you say, I will take a vow for the whole of 30 next month, whole of 30 days. If any foul word comes out of my mouth, or anger that is uttered by this mouth, then Lord, I will pay a fine. Whatever you might want to do. Maybe I will give $100 to charity. Every time what comes out, I will pay.
Maybe I think that would be good for you because that would discipline you. Because every time you say something, there goes my $100. In 30 days, perhaps every day you do that, how much money is that? $3,000. For Paul, the shaving of the hand, you know, he kept the vow until the hair comes back. For whatever the reason, the Bible did not tell us. Okay, he said, oh, Lord, I promise I will fast next 2 months. Are you very fast? I also don't ever use the word promise. Don't make any vow. How many of you love the Lord? Really? Okay, good. And that way you love the Lord, then you say you love the Lord, right? That just means I love you. If you say you love somebody, it's already a vow. It is, you don't have to say, Lord, I promise to love you. What do you mean by I promise to love you? Either you love me or you don't love me. Do you tell your husband, your wife, or your children, I promise to love you? Do you? Mommy, I promise to love you. No. You love. And when you love somebody, you don't turn around and hate the person. Why? I know you might be frustrated. Lord, why this thing happened to me? Yeah, I understand that. He understands that. And you might hear him say it back to you, because I love you. You need to be punished. You need to be disciplined, so to speak. You know, the Bible talks about the trial of our faith. Huh? The chastening of the Lord, right? It's not grievous. God allows it. And you need to understand and wait upon the Lord to hear what he has to tell you, why these things happen. That's it. Okay, next. And verse 19, of course, as usual, entering the synagogue and reason with the Jew. Verse 20 onwards.
And we desired him to tarry longer with them. He consented not. And bid them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this faith that coming in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will, and he said, but in pieces.
Alright. So now, Paul had desire to go to Jerusalem to keep the feast. This feast. When the Bible says the feast, this feast, it's always only one feast that is pointed, and that's the Passover. Okay? There's a Passover feast. Why would he point it to God? Why does he want to go to Jerusalem to keep this feast? Because this is one of the three major feasts. Then all the Jewish men will be there. And he will always try to take the opportunity, since there's a big convention going on there, I want to be there, I'll take the opportunity to speak to my fellow Jewish people. Huh? For that's for his purpose. Okay? Alright. Verse 22.
And when he had landed at Caesarea, and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples.
Alright, let's look at the map so they understand. From Corinth, you know, he went over to Ephesus, from Ephesus he set sail, all the way to Syria. Alright, to go to Jerusalem. So he went down to Jerusalem to keep the feast, then he went back up again, and he went back traveling the same old place that is Asia Minor to him. That is this common area that he traveled. Alright? So that you have roughly an understanding of Paul's travel there. Verse 24.
And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scripture, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews and them publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ.
All right. Here we have why Paul left Ephesus to go to Jerusalem. There came a man by the name of Apollos to Ephesus. So the path did not cross. All right, and meet. So one just left, one came. And Apollos, the Bible tells us of one thing. He was born in Alexandria. Alexandria, of course, was at that time the chief city of Egypt. A very eloquent man. The people go down there to study. Alexandria happened to be a place where a lot of building of a university, or what we call that, of high learning. All right, and he was instructed in the way of the Lord, but he was not instructed in the way of the gospel. So he knew the gospel. I mean, he knew the Bible well, Old Testament. Then he was a Jew, and not only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in a synagogue. And when he was there speaking, Aquila and Priscilla heard of him and found him there, and decided to take him and expound the way of God more clearly to him, more perfectly to him. Now, one of the things here we need to understand is, during the time of the ministry of John the Baptist, many were converted to John the Baptist's ministry, his preaching of repentance, and they should look for the Messiah that is to come. That's about all that John preached. John did not mention anything about the gospel of Jesus because he was just introducing Christ. So Apollos was one of that very devout disciple of John. So when he left John and went over Asia to propagate the truth, he didn't know nothing about Jesus Christ at all. Never even heard of him. So when Aquila heard him that he preached about John's repentance and looking forward to the Messiah, so now Aquila and Priscilla took him aside to the home and expounded him. Now with this verse in the Bible, which is very commonly taken by denomination, to say that you see women are allowed to preach, women are allowed to teach, women can be preacher, because Priscilla here preached to Apollos. Well, the Bible didn't say this. Whenever you have two persons, we understand there's always one person to speak. Now Paul went with Silas, but the Bible always referring to Paul as if he's alone, right? It's very common. You see. So they think that because Aquila and Priscilla took him, Apollos, into the house and expounded to him, as the Bible here says, verse 26, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So they say that, oh, Priscilla is teaching Apollos. Now, the one is a helpmate. Aquila is the one, of course, sit on the table, and Priscilla sat beside him, of course. We say amen to that. It doesn't mean that Priscilla is teaching. But this has been the way that the denominations have taken this to expound, because they want woman to be preacher. You see. Just the same as over in Penang, when you got Peter Tan, who was a Baptist, assistant pastor, who came and accept Brother Bram's message and baptized him up there in Penang with a few other of the followers, their disciples there. And it's about a year later, I heard that he was distant. So went up there to talk to him. He asked me a question. In fact, I was with a brother, Brother Lingam's son. I can't remember his name, Tony. Not the other one, the taller one.
Sonny,
yes. I was with Brother Sonny, was with me when we went out there. So we were waiting for the church service to close, and it was night time, waiting outside. And then, while I was waiting outside, the Spirit of God told me something. That assistant pastor Peter, whom I baptized, he's going to show me a magazine. And that magazine happened to be a magazine that I received a week or so earlier. I subscribed to it. And it's a book, it's a magazine by Maurice Sululu. And in that magazine, there was a center page that opened up, you know, and talk about a prophet who says, who prophesies, if it comes to pass, fear him. If it doesn't come to pass, do not fear him. You know, and I was talking to Brother Sonny about it. He's going to show me something of that. So after the service was over, the assistant pastor came, called me into the room, into the office, with some of the those that were baptized. They were there. We were sitting around the table. So he said to me, "Brother again, I want to ask you a question." I looked at him and I said, "Shoot." And true enough, he walked from the table, he went to the cupboard and took the same magazine. I looked at Sonny. And he opened up the same page, the center page. He asked me this, but again, you believe that Abraham was the end-time messenger, the prophecy of God. What do you consider this? I said, what do you consider this? What do you consider this? He said, Maurice Sonoda was putting them in center page. He said, of course the Bible said it's true, isn't it? Therefore, but again, that means he said Abraham is not the only prophet. I said, did I say that he was the only prophet? Or did I say that he was the messenger? I said, there are many prophets, you know. But not all are messengers, you know. But we are talking about these facts of Laodicea age, that there must be a messenger to all those other churches in Asia Minor, which the people saw in church ages. He closed it, then he asked me a question. What about Catherine Kuhlman? Catherine Kuhlman? I said, what about her? Why is the Brother Branham against one preacher? I said, I'm also against one preacher. But do you know Catherine Kuhlman healed the sick and to give up healing effect? I said, so? So does it mean that she can go to the pulpit and start to teach the word of God? Which happens to be the authority that belongs to men. She is usurping the authority that belongs to man. But she has to give up her healing. I said, so? The gift can be given to any man, anybody. Woman, man, young man, old woman, old man. It doesn't mean that they are all called to preach. Just because you have the gift. Huh? Let us not forget, God could give a dumb donkey the gift of utterance. Did he not? When the donkey spoke to who? Balaam. Right? It doesn't mean the donkey can go and preach. And then from that time on, he left the message. What happened? He became a charismatic preacher. And overnight, in a few years' time, he got 10,000 people. A rich man. He wanted me to go his way. I said, no. I'm not going to sell the truth of God's word for popularity, for money, for women. And he got involved into a few problems. He was popular. Got woman problem. Fornicated. Money, he stole it, ran over the Australia. The three things that the Bible warned us men about. He fell into all of it. And a warning. A real warning. He said, you're going to have a fall. So no sooner enough, that's what happened. Not my word, brother and sister, when you have the word of God and you sell it up, you're selling Christ. Don't ever do that. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe Him all the way. You don't sell Him up. And you buy a thing and after you have no use for it again, you sell it off at second hand. You don't do it to Jesus Christ. You don't do it to the Word of God. Because that's your life. Amen. Alright. So Apollo was instructed by Aquila and Priscilla regarding that Jesus Christ. In fact, that Jesus of Nazareth was actually the Christ. Let us continue a few more verses and close. Chapter 19, verse 1 on you.
And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul himself, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding some of the disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with baptism of repentance, saying unto people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hand upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men there were about 12.
Okay, we stop at that. Interesting part here. Apollos was the Ephesus. Now Apollos left them, so Paul came back. He said they never met each other. I guess they serve a purpose now. So when Paul came to the upper coast of Ephesus, he found certain disciples. Certain disciples, what do you mean by certain disciples? They were not disciples of Christ. The word disciple can mean anything. You can be a disciple of Buddha, you're still a disciple. Correct? The word disciple means somebody who is a follower of somebody or something. Alright? Someone who is learning something. Who is given the lie to wanting to find the truth or finding whatever they want to find as regarding life's purpose. So Paul came to this place, finally certain disciples, and apparently of course he found them and he probably had sat with them and hear them what they said, and found that these were actually disciples of John the Baptist. Or we would say that actually perhaps that they learned it from Apollos, who was a great teacher after John the Baptist passed away. Now here, Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, I'm thinking we're not so much hope where there be any God, any Holy Ghost. Let me say this very truthfully. If a preacher knows so much, well, in this case, the preacher, we can say it's John, or perhaps Apollos, we can say, but Apollos taught them about what John preached. So Apollos learned from John, and that's much as all that he had. Okay? So, because Apollos taught them, and this disciple heard what Apollos teach them. Every time they come together, Apollos told them about what John preached, the thing that he had received from John the Baptist. So how much do you think that this disciple know as regarding anything further than that? And you know what Brother Abraham said? Brother Abraham said this. That a congregation cannot be higher than the pastor. Well, that means to say that if you have Apollos as a pastor, That's as much as you can learn from Apollos. Because he knows this much. He can only impart to you what he knows. You cannot know more than him. Get it?
Isn't it true?
So the same thing, we look at it today. We look at it today like in a denomination. Well, they know about Jesus Christ. Okay, fine. They know about the second coming, he's coming back. Yeah, alright. And this and that. Basically, how much else can they know? If this preacher or this pastor of denomination have only that amount, the congregation cannot know more than that. And practically many of them don't even bother to know or even to study outside. So we come to this entire message. Come to this entire message. People believe God sent William Branham as a messenger to this last age. What is the message? Yeah, okay, the message. Come out of all my people. Come back to the absolute. Right? Now, whatever Brother Branham said, those preachers learned it from Brother Branham. Correct? And then they pass it on to people. How much can they know? Can they know more than Brother Branham? They can't. Because there's as much as Brother Branham has imparted to them. This is what Brother Branham said. This is what Brother Branham said. This is what Apollo said. This is what John the Baptist said. And that's it. They don't go beyond anymore. They can't. What do you expect them to grow? How do you expect them to grow? How can you be better than Brother Branham? Now, when somebody hears me on this video, they're going to think, ha! You know, there are people that are waiting to catch me. They only listen to what I preach because I have been ministers meeting around different parts of the world. They're waiting to catch me. What I said, one word, they will twist and turn. Ah, brother, again, he's saying that he's the one that we should listen to. Because he knows better than Brother Branham. That's the kind of mindset that people have. Let me tell you something. I'm not better than Brother Branham. But I ought to know more than Brother Branham. Why? Why? Because Brother Branham taught me something. Come back to the absolute. This is the word that is above any other servant, God's servant. Even above Brother Branham. Even above Paul. Even above anybody. The people that don't want to go above Brother Branham because they think that he had everything. Anything else that you say that he didn't say, you're in trouble with God. Really? He point you not to himself. He point you to be going back to Jesus Christ. Don't worry. Where did Brother Branham get all the information from? He got it from the Word. The Word is not under him. The Word is above him. Now people don't understand it. They are so fearful. Huh? Right. So we need to be, you can be higher than a preacher, actually. All you have to do is keep on learning this Bible. And one day perhaps you come to me, hey, brother, I've got a revelation. Oh, you go and show it to me. Then we'll go look at it. Well, someday I've never seen it. It's because if you are afraid. You understand that? That's just why, you know, all these books, all this revelation that I have, all these years that God gave me, it is because I dare to venture into the Word of God. I do not fear hope, because this man is a great preacher, you know, in America, Europe, all these things. He must know better than I am.
No.
God is no respecter of person. You want to seek Him and get more blessing from Him? Seek His word. I'm telling you that. Seek His word. And what Jesus Christ said, search the scripture for and then you find eternal life. For they are there that we spoke of me. That is true. So how can you have the Holy Ghost? We have never heard of the Holy Ghost. How can you ever have heard about the Holy Ghost when all you know about is to say what the Paul said? To say what John the Baptist said? How can you go anything further into the light of God's word when you said only what Brother Branham said? What Brother Branham said? What Brother Branham said? You'll not go further. And I know some of the people that listen to this tape, I know they do. Wow, we're going to have to speak against the prophet. Did I? You know what happened over in Cambodia? You know, brother, Israel. Brother Israel was a small fella. Huh? A small fella. Okay, only that he has size. Small fella like Brother Luke. And his voice is even doesn't sound boisterous or like a male voice. But you know his testimony. Back in 2008, 10 years ago, we were having fellowship out there in Automobile Association of Singapore, right? He came to the service. I don't know him. That's the first time I met him. So what are you doing here? Oh, well, you know, I just came here, the Lord sent me here, and this and that, and later on I found what happened. That actually the Lord wanted him to come to this part of the world, from Cameroon. Let me tell you this, this guy, this young man, had guts. Huh? You're coming out from a country, to a land that you've never been to, a strange land, eating strange food, not knowing the culture and the tradition and lifestyles of the people. And he was waiting for the Lord. The Lord told him to go, and finally his mom gave him, I don't know how many $1,000s that was backdated to her pay. But she finally got it, one lump sum. He said, son, this is the money now. I have given it to you. I think it's about, the mom is taking $3,000 or something. Go where the Lord sent you. Ah, the mother's faith. To let a young man go by himself. And he got his ticket, came over to Vietnam, and then came down to Singapore, Malaysia, Singapore. They found out that in a few days, the cost of living here, the hotel is so expensive that his money is running out. He came to the service. So where are you going from here? Oh, I'm going up to Malaysia, go to maybe Thailand. So I'm going to do, I don't know, the Lord, whatever the Lord needs, whatever. Oh, goodbye, he went. And you know his story. He got no job, no money, running short of money. So what did he do? He met some African guys over there in Thailand as well. You know, people find their own birds of the same feather. So to speak. Now here, the Filipino come here, they know where to find Filipino, huh? Down in Orchard Road. And so what happened to him? He found out that this African, hey, they got a job. How do you do it? Oh, well, you know, you get a fake certificate, fake degree. Buy it online. And he bought himself a fake degree online. And he applied for the job. Here, the department went and said, okay, we are waiting for an interview. While he was waiting for interview, just not a long few days, and the Lord speak to him, that's not the way to go. And he went, he said he repented, took his certificate and tore it up. Not knowing what to do, God, whatever you want me to go. In Thailand, he crossed the border to Cambodia. And that's when
Amen. I don't know how many weeks it's been. Coming to a hand, don't know what to do. Try to cheat, try to find a living room by cheating. Cross the border into Cambodia. And what did the Lord do to him? He came across a gathering, a meeting, a church meeting. So he went and listened. Being that he was black, being that he's black, of course, he went in. And all those Cambodians looked at him. Oh, where are you from? No, I talked to him, you know. Of course you are the only black person out there, and everybody is just going to find out where you're from, and he talked to you, talk to them, and, oh, come, you can preach for us. But he preached. And they like him. Share some more. Pray for the sick, and he prayed for the sick, and God did miracles. Two women, they went to these places where some sort of hospital clinic, that people have HIV and AIDS. You can see the testimony on the website. Two sisters of AIDS. He prayed for them. And later on, the blood test, so it was negative. Miracles happened. And so those pastors got to know him. He sent me an email. Regan, can you do me a favor? Says, I wrote him an email back and said, what is it? Can you pay for 1 year of my visa to stay in Cambodia? I'm going to work among these churches. And $100. Sure, send it to him. You got 1 year visa. From then on, the rest is history. What happened? In 2011, 3 years later, he registered his church. And he's the only church in Cambodia that has the end time truth. Okay? By that time, the voice of God found him through my website. I asked him to help them translate for Abraham's message. He called me up, he asked me, would it be okay? I said, yeah, I mean, you know, you're independent, don't ask me that. I don't tell you what to do, what not to do. Huh? I just said, you need to know how the system works. Because I said that many times there are a lot of things that is going on that's not right. So while the office was set up there, it just got registered. There was at the end of 2011 to 2018 beginning, so the church got registered. And what happened now? You had the Voice of God library there. It was, well, 7 years ago now. Recently. You know, Brother Israel is more concerned about the gospel to the Cambodian people. We want the truth to go out to the Cambodian people. And he, being that he has been there for all these several years now, he knew the people well enough. They do not know, they do not even have a basic understanding of the Bible. So he got my chart. Then the eternity to the eternity chart translated into Khmer. And the person who translated was a pastor from the denomination. And he was translating Voice of God book as well. And Brother Israel negotiated with the Voice of God to give him, to pay him a good, pay, give him a good, better pay for the book that he translated, the message that he translated. So what happened? Last week, the translator went over to Philippines to get baptized there. Strangely. Well, Brother Israel is in
is there. Why was he brought over there? Over there, he met Peter Lim. Things changed. Peter Lim came over to Cambodia. Wow. Next moment, visitor came. Calls from Australia, subdivision of Voice of God. We're going to close the office. When you close the church down, Ronnie says, and you don't close the church, church is mine. So, I say, okay. And Barry said, this is the only church in Cambodia that has the truth. When you close the office, no problem. You just imagine. You just imagine what a person can do. If you don't have the truth, you think that you have everything that's Brother Brown. And Brother Yusuf told me, they showed him the website, his website. He said, why do you have all these links to different ones? My link? Brother Shankrak's link? Jackson's link? I don't know what else. And they told him, he said, some of these links speaks against William Branham and Joseph Branham. Let me tell you, say this clearly here. I'm not afraid. I fear God to speak enough to speak the truth. I don't hold back to please anybody. I want to say this. Brother Branham is not the absolute. I said it many times. He did not have everything. He did not reveal all mysteries. And even Joseph Brown, he doesn't believe in fighting ministry. He asked people, just listen to the tape. If I ask people to listen to a tape, you don't believe in a fivefold ministry then. It doesn't matter whether you are the son of the prophet. One thing for sure, because God does not have grandchildren. You understand what I'm saying? My son is not going to heaven just because I'm his father. You're not going to heaven just because of your mother or your father, because they believe. Because in heaven, my wife is not my wife. Don't look at me that you do not know. Your wife is your sister. Your mother is your sister. Your father is your brother. Your great-grandson is your brother. Do you understand? Right. You have been eating mango. Can you tell me, oh, this mango I'm eating is the grandson of this mango? Can you tell me that? Because all seeds came from mango, from the original, that's it. And every one of us came from God. We are going back to God. And you need to know that. Is that right? Right. Brother Yeshua told me, he asked one question. What do you believe regarding the 70 of you attending? Well, Abraham said, 70 years here, 2.5 years here. Which one do you believe? I believe all! I believe both! Brother Yeshua told me, he gave it to him and told him, ask him, how can you do that? That means you're confusing the people. And this child, he told him, a brother again have helped so many people to understand. Even the translator, the Khmer translator, when he first saw that chart, and because he understands English, so he translated. He said, I understand so much out of this chart alone. But I should ask them, when this chart is giving you the problem? Anybody who look at the chart, that's what that chart of mine, people have taking it and frame it up in their home, in their church, so that people can look at it and understand from eternity to eternity It's so clear in that chart. Why are people finding fault with it? Well, you see why? Because Brother Branham didn't teach it. Brother Branham did not teach this one. He didn't teach this one. He didn't teach this one. Let me say this. That's all you know about William Branham. You don't know him like I do. I may not know him personally, but I know the spirit of that man. God allowed me to see him in the vision. God made me to realize who he was. He cannot take my place. That's what Christ was telling me. Because he's just my servant. Like I'm his servant. Like Paul was his servant. You understand that? So that's why how important it is then that people need to know more than they just hear from their preacher. They need to go back to the Word. They need to study the Word and understand more. And believe that the fivefold ministry is here on this earth to perfect the saints of God until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for today now. I ask that you bless the word. Bless all that we have received from you, Father. Bless the rest of the day and for the baptism that is coming up, Lord. We ask that you bless those two sisters, Lord, getting baptized. And we commit the rest of the whole day to you in Jesus' name. Amen.